Hi, I'm Blue, your host and coach helping you create the life and business of your dreams. Welcome back to The Journey with Blue. We all hate trying new things, and we all hate doing things that we're not good at, but that doesn't mean we can't. There's so much power in practice and putting in the time to master your craft. In this conversation, my friend Abu Fofana, who you've probably seen his ads all over the internet, is the founder of Power Your Launch, which has helped his students earn over $80 million from teaching them how to run ads. He shares his process of how he starts from scratch learning new skills, the inevitable failures that come along with it, and how you can get big success from committing and putting in the practice. Boo! I'm so excited for this moment. First of all, I think, you know, we met several years ago, and I think every time we were like, we're doing the show, and you don't live in Atlanta, but you flew in to do the show.
Yes.
I'm like, true friends, true riders.
You already know. I got the bat signal. I was like, okay. I saw the blue on the sky. I was like, I gotta go.
And I feel like you're the only person like who calls me by the Journey with Blue.
Journey with Blue.
And I'm like, okay, Abu, hello, how are you doing? Like, it's never like just Michelle. It's never just Blue. It's the full thing. It's like the whole show, the whole brand.
Right. I gotta let everybody in the room know Journey with Blue is in the house, you know.
I appreciate you. And Abu, you know, I feel like I always like walk away inspired whenever like I'm around you, whenever we're together. And it's not even just because of like, yes, you've grown like really successful businesses, but it's always a different level of like stretching my mentality and like what I actually think is possible, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to see it in motion, see it in process.
Right.
And a couple months ago, I'm gonna say, I guess maybe around like November, December, the end of 2021, I saw you post something about you had just made like this crazy amount of money on the stock market. How much was it?
It's funny because I was starting to get more and more consistently, but I think during that time, there was a weekend, a 7-day period where I made about almost $300,000 in 7 days.
Right.
And so.
And you posted about this.
Correct.
And here I am reading this, scrolling, and I see Abu making this money. And I was like, okay, whatever. Abu's off to making more millions. And I completely like just dismissed it and was like, Abu is just being Abu, right? Mm. And so that was November, December when I saw your post.
Yep.
But then I saw you in person in February. Yep. And we were talking and you were like, man, I've been putting in like 40 hours a week or something, like trying to learn the stock market.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, like I completely like diminish your process.
Mm.
Because it's so easy to see like, oh, Abu's made millions, now he's about to make more millions in the stock market doing something completely new, and be like, oh, Abu just has something special. Mm. Like he got his own little analytical brain that just worked for him. But when you was like, I'm putting in all these hours to learn, I was like, dang, we don't see that.
Yeah.
We don't hear that. And so people think it just happens.
No.
You're like, no.
No, it doesn't happen like that. I think that it's, so there's two layers to this. The first one is like when you're working on your current dream and, you know, you have to put in a lot of hours for that. So before I became an entrepreneur, you know, what I did 5 to 9, after 9 to 5 became extremely important. And so instead of leaving my job, I would just stay after hours and started working on my next craft, mm-hmm. which then turned into full-time entrepreneurship. When I became a full-time entrepreneur and you know, known as one thing, but I'm like, you know what, where do I see my life in 5, 10 years? And if it looks completely different than what I'm currently doing, how do I start building the skill set? How do I start building the boat before the flood comes? Mm-hmm. And so I said, I need to put more hours in. And so not only am I refining my current craft, but then I'm like, every moment that I have, I'm gonna dedicate, I'm gonna wake up 3 hours earlier and dedicate the first 3 hours of the day to the next craft. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna stay up 3 hours later. So there's this process, and I think it's diminished because, you know, one, you know, the microwave aspect of how Instagram or social media is, people will go there, and people don't really build in public unless it's a win. Right?
Yeah, right,
but they don't build in public where they're like, okay, it's day three and I'm doing the same thing and there's no result. Day four, I'm doing the same thing. It's like when you watch those astronaut movies and they got to log every day, mm-hmm. and there's really no progress every time they check in. But when you take a step back and they've been there for the year, you're like, wow, like look at all that progress that occurred. And so it's a lot, and I try to share that journey, mm-hmm. right? And
I missed it. I didn't see that. I just saw $300,000 in 6 days.
Right. And so it's challenging because some of my peers as well, some of my friends, they'll tell me that the second layer of this is, oh, there's something special. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was in high school, I used to get these entrepreneur magazines, these Forbes magazine, and I'd see, you know, the Mark Zuckerberg's on there, and he's in his, you know, teen and in his early 20s, worth $1 billion. And me and my friends would look at that magazine, and they would think that's one in a million. I would think, oh, I'm not one in a million. Mm-hmm. And so my perspective was always, okay, I know I need to put the time in. I can't think that. And you've been in rooms before with people that you think are smarter than you, and you get in a room, you be like, okay, they're not as smart, right? Mm-hmm. They're just as equal, but it's their work ethic, it's the risk taking, it's them putting themselves out there, even if it doesn't work out. And so I think those are the things I've adopted, and so that's the other layer to this, is like you have to be willing to work through. Because you won't be the best. Like this new mm-hmm. skill I'm learning, I didn't start out being good at it.
Yeah.
It took time. It's a process for sure.
I love that. And you know, the process is so important, and you are an analytical person.
Yeah.
True and true. Very, you know, that is you. And I'm not. I'm on like the polar opposite. I'm very like in the clouds. Like I'm like a little fairy, you know, living in my own blue head of just like everything's gonna work out. Like I'm just gonna think positive thoughts and I'm gonna manifest it and it's gonna come to me, which things do, you know.
Yeah.
But I also, with my faith and with all that I believe, like I also have to come grounded and have a little, so like put things into practice, right?
Yeah.
And actually walk things through. And so I think that's so important, and which is why I also need people like you in my life and around me, because I have these big visions, these big dreams of the things that I want to do, but it's like, okay, well, how do you make it happen?
Yeah.
What's the time that you put in to make it happen?
Yeah.
And you know, there's so much goodness that you said here, is that people want something different and they don't always know how to get there.
Right.
And it's like, people want something different, but most of the times we're afraid to start and to do that.
Sure.
And so I'm an aunt of like three little boys, which I love, and I'm like the cool auntie until I'm not, right?
Mm.
And so I was sitting with my two nephews, and I was helping them do like reading and writing and everything. And they completely like had this breakdown and they did not want to do it. And so, like I said, I'm cool until I'm not cool. And so I had to call the person who's always cool, which is Joshua. So I called Joshua and I'm like, you know, say something to the, you know, boys, I've encouraged them. And when he got on the phone, the first thing he said, he was like, you know, Michael, he was like, you know, no one likes doing things that they're not good at.
Mm.
And this is what he's telling my like 11-year-old nephew. And this is like what we all encounter as adults too, is like we're afraid of getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of failure.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we overcome that?
And sometimes like if we dig deeper, it may not even be failure. We're afraid just other people will see us doing something that they don't associate us with. So therefore, if I don't do it correctly, other people are gonna talk about me. Mm-hmm. I see more, a lot of people don't start because of others, you know? And so their fear is what other people will say about them. And it keeps them in a place where they're recognizable to others rather than being different because they want something different.
Right.
Failure is really an interesting thing, right? Because people will look at us on social media and they'll say, well, I want to be as successful as them. But they don't understand, like, we're just a series of, we're just falling into things, right? Like, we didn't figure it out.
A series of failures.
Correct. But to other people, our failures look like success. So we're looking forward and we're looking at those people and we're like, man, I wish I was as successful as them. But to them, they're like, well, these are just, I don't even know how I ended up here. Yes. I was just trying.
Yes.
And so I think the first part of failure is understanding that, you know, you have to be willing to just try and put yourself out there. And that's the hardest thing, because no one wants to be the man or the woman in the arena. Yeah. They'd rather be in the crowd because it's a lot easier. There's no expectation and no one is critiquing you, right? And so it's challenging. It takes courage to go against the grain and put yourself out there in a way that you're okay with. You know, people are going to talk about you regardless, but you're okay with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, like, my reality is we're sitting in the midst of my failure. Like, I had my first business that failed, and which made me lean into the journey with Blue more, right? And then when I started the journey with Blue, like, I have friends that, like, would make comments and say, like, that I wasn't good, basically. And it may not have been, like, overt, but it was, like, undercover things or, like, whatever the case may be. Yeah. And that hurt.
Yeah, it hurts a lot.
It hurts. Because I'm like, dang, can you say, like, congratulations first? Or, like, you know, you're going to do better, or whatever the case may be. And so I could have taken that personally.
Right, right.
But the truth was, I wasn't that great, you know, if I had to be honest with myself.
Yeah.
And, but I realized I wasn't that great, but I knew that, like, I wanted to stick with this. I didn't know what it was. And I was willing to give myself time and space to evolve, to give myself time and space to practice.
Yeah.
And to get it wrong and get it right in front of everybody, despite what people thought about me and what people said to me, maybe to me, maybe behind my back.
Yeah, yeah. What, and I know, but I have a question for you.
I understand. My guests don't understand what this is all about. Go ahead. No. I'll let you get asked more.
What made you, despite what people were saying around you, despite you realizing that you needed to get better, that you still wanted to continue doing it, right? So you're stacking all these things up against you, but you're still saying, you know what, I still choose to do that. Like, what made you still want to do it despite all of that?
You know, that's a good question, because, like I said, that does, you know, mess with you psychologically, right? Of, like, you start to feel a type of way and you start to question if I can do this, if I should do this, if people will watch, will people care? And the reason I stuck with it is because I knew that this was what I was meant to do at some level. I didn't know, like, what it was gonna, like, grow to, but I was like, I love doing it, actually. And people ask me, like, oh, were you a journalism major? Were you a media major? I'm like, no, I was business marketing with a minor in fashion merchandising. I was just a girl who called on my friend, said I wanted to have a show. She said, I've never done video. And I was like, well, I've never been a host. And we did it. And it was just me saying yes to myself. Not because and of course I have the dreams for it to grow there, but I didn't know that that's what it was actually going to happen. I just knew I love doing this.
Yeah.
And I was going to, like, even stay true to that.
Yeah. And I think that's all that matters, is that you decided on something. You couldn't see yourself not doing it. And you decided to ride with it despite what anyone else would say. Like, you chose your interest.
Yeah.
Right. And I think wherever that person is and they're trying to decide, should I do this, or, you know, should I continue to pursue this, it's choose the interest that is burning the most within you to follow, despite, you know, even if it, because you don't know the outcome, right? You don't know the outcome. All you know, I really enjoy doing this. I really love interviewing people. I really love sitting down and talking with people, but you don't determine the outcome.
Yeah.
when you put your product out there, people determine, okay, oh, I really like this conversation. I really enjoy it. I've never seen a spin on these type of conversations before. She's asking really great questions. Did she go to journalism school, right? Like, mm-hmm. and you didn't do any of that, but it, yeah. this is just innate. It's what's within you. Mm-hmm. And I think people should pursue more of the things that's within them, because if it doesn't, if they don't, it eats at you. Mm-hmm. And I've had many points in my journey where when I didn't do the thing that I wanted to do, like, I have regrets. I have mm-hmm. those things that have eaten at me, and I just had to act on some of those things along my journey.
Yeah, and you have to act, and you have to be, like, I had to be real with myself of, like, I wasn't great, right? And that there was room for improvement. You have to give yourself space and time to improve,
yeah.
to grow and to evolve. And just because you're not good at something doesn't mean that's, like, definitive, like
sure,
that's your
sure,
end.
Sure.
And so many people say, I'm not good with math. I'm not good with public speaking. I'm not good with X, Y, and Z. And I heard this saying before, it's like, if you fight for your limitations,
yeah.
you'll keep them.
Yeah.
And when that I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, right? And there's so much that we don't want
yeah.
that we're actually fighting for. Mm. We're holding on to it because we're not willing to do that real assessment of where we are and to actually break down, well, how do I move forward?
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, there's a ceiling of, like, the only ceiling a lot of times is, like, your own belief and limitation on how far you could go, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have a limited idea of yourself and the things that could happen for you, you adopt that,
yeah.
right? If you don't, and that's why I also think self-talk is really important, how you speak about the things. So whenever people are just starting things, mm-hmm. I say, hey, put yet at the end of every sentence. Yeah. I'm not good yet,
yes.
you know, because that means there's room for improvement. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's hard to look at, even looking at businesses now, and say, you know what, I'm Nike. And you go and you launch a apparel business and it doesn't sell like Nike.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare with where Nike is today. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go back and look at, well, where were they when they were day two in their business?
Yes.
Did they sell out? No. So why am I giving myself...
Yes, we have these so unrealistic pressures.
It's social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's social media, and it's also our belief that, oh, if we're that good, it would happen really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're that good, it doesn't happen really quickly.
Yes.
That's how you know, you need to continue doing that thing that you started. It doesn't happen quickly at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. It's definitely a process. And even I was saying right before this, when I started doing these conversations, like, I would just go in, like, thinking I was going to magically have the, like, things that I wanted to say to people.
Yeah.
And, like, I was going to magically have the questions. Like, it was just supposed to come to me. And so I never, like, really prepared or practiced beforehand. For some reason, I thought it was, like, cheating. Like, if I'm meant to be this host, then it's just supposed to, like, come to me naturally. And I'm like, okay, like, that got me further. Like, I got some baby steps in that. But it didn't get me far.
Yeah.
Right? And so I've realized, like, that it's okay to practice. And it's okay to practice until you get to your greatness.
Yeah.
Right? And even when you say, like, yet, I always think about Muhammad Ali's quote. You know, like, I said I was the greatest even before I knew I was.
Yeah.
I believe it's like, speak that.
Right,
like,
right.
Own that. Step into that. Like,
right.
you know, and really, like, just claim it as yours.
Mm.
Right? But I also want to know, what are some of those, like, really, like, practical things that you do when you're trying to learn a new skill, a new craft that's
yes.
going to move you from where you are, you know? Because you have to do the work. And that's the other thing.
Yeah.
People want to change in life, but they're not willing to change how they show up.
Right. And that's what one of my good friends, Tanya Rapley, my Fab Finance, always tells me is, you have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to do the work. You cannot cut corners, and there's no way
shortcuts.
There's no shortcuts. Like,
mm-hmm.
you have to do the work. I think for me personally, and in order for me to sort of, and the question you asked me was, how do I
Like, what are some of the practical things that you're doing, right?
To learn.
To help you learn, right? So we talked about some of the mindset steps of overcoming.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, let's...
So some of the things I do when I'm trying to learn a new skill, I crafted this thing called a 90 for 90.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend 90 minutes a day minimum over 90 days in order to learn a new skill, 90 for 90. Now, there's some people are going to say, I don't have 90 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, okay, do the 60 for 60.
Okay,
do the 30 for 60. You know, it's all about consistency and that same craft. And so every day I spend 90 minutes a day minimum studying the charts, going through a course, being mentored by someone. Every day, 90 minutes a day minimum. This is Monday through Sunday. This isn't Monday through Friday.
I'm like looking at my life, like, where I got 90 days? Is that
90 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah, 90 minutes a day, Monday through Sunday.
Monday through Sunday, every day. So, like, in the morning, that first 30 minutes, I may just look over my notes from the day before. And in the afternoon, when I'm eating lunch, I may take another 30 minutes, you know, and while I eat lunch, I'm looking at the notes before I go to bed, right? Mm-hmm. Or before I go to the gym. Or maybe I take the notebook to the gym.
Yeah.
Or maybe I take the audio of, you know, wanting to learn about the stocks to the gym, and I'm listening to a podcast episode all about the markets. Mm-hmm. And so
this is a real analytical brain that's helping me, because I'm not quite there yet. Okay.
What I'm doing is I'm integrating what I want to become.
Mm.
Right? So it's not distant anymore. You know, I'm becoming it at the same time in this process. So I'm integrating it into my current life because that's how I'm going to become who I see. And so again, we talked about the mental, there's the visual, but then there's like, okay, manifest. Like, when you create a manifest, someone has to follow that in order to find the treasure, right? In order to find the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're creating a manifest, and once you create it, that's your outline.
Right.
That's your step-by-step on how you get to the goal, the end point that you want to go to. So I do this 90 for 90 challenge, any skill, and at the end of the 90 days...
This is commitment,
Commitment, right. Mm-hmm. At the end of the 90 days, like, and that's what happened. Now I made $300,000 in 7 days, right? Like, I did it day in and day out, 90 minutes. I still am running a business, right? I still have employees. I run like 3 other businesses. I'm so like... Someone recently told me, you don't wait for things to slow down to start something new, right? When things are speeding up, that's the best time to start something new.
Yeah.
And so some of us in our mindset, we're like, well, when I've done this and things slow down, you don't.
Yeah.
Because things are always going to be speeding up. Like things, especially the type of the things you want, right? If you wanna be this woman, if you wanna do this trading, if you wanna, the best time to learn it is when things are ongoing, right? You give yourself deadlines. I hark back to when I was in university, I would, you know, the first semester, everyone was taking like 12 credits. They would recommend, hey, 12 to 15.
Yeah.
I took 35.
What?
I took 35 credits.
See.
but when you're up against deadlines, you get things done. Like, even if you took 18 credits, you will get things done when you have things on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't put enough things on our plate. And the issue with that, another layer of this is, I read somewhere recently is like, you know, if you want to see growth and if you want to see continued growth, see what's on your calendar. Is your calendar changing?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, if I go back to your calendar a year ago, you're doing the same thing. So where does growth happen? If you're doing the same thing, you're not adding more onto your plate. You're okay with what's on your plate. And I think some of us, we need to stretch ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We strive to be the best at what in our craft, but we're not willing to do the other stuff. Jordan could have stopped where he was, right? But he wanted to be the best. And so Kobe could have stopped. So there are these individuals that are outliers. Mm-hmm. They're already good at what they do, but how do they become the best at it?
There's a complacency with good.
Absolutely, especially when you're the person in the friend group who is doing more than everyone else, right?
Yeah.
And you tell them something, they're like, well, girl, you're doing more than everybody else.
Yes, that's true.
And then you're like, well, I am. And then it sinks in your back of your mind and you're like, okay, maybe I don't need to do this extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what was put on your path to do.
Right.
But now you're delaying it because, until you come into a different room of people and you're like, oh my God,
let me level up, go to the next level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, those are some really important points, some really key points.
Yeah.
As we talk about this growth, but also a reality of this is, like we said, the failure and that it gets hard.
Yeah.
So in your 90 days, it's not like, oh, I'm getting everything right. Like, I'm checking all this stuff on my list. That's when you're losing the money,
yeah.
Right? That no one's actually right. seeing. How much did you lose?
Yeah, well, I lost in simulation.
Oh, okay.
So before I got to the real markets, I just practiced in sim, mm-hmm. right? I just practiced fake money, real market.
Okay.
And I just kept practicing and practicing.
Okay.
And so then I made 300K. I mean, out of that, maybe I lost like 14K, but that wasn't even my money to begin with because I had earned that. Mm-hmm. So I grew an account from 21,000 to 300,000. So like everything after 22,000
yeah.
was just all good, right?
Gotcha.
It wasn't money that I had put in. Mm-hmm. And so I put 21K in and grew to 300K. Mm-hmm. And so same thing with ads. Like when I was learning ads at 90 for 90, I really dove into what exactly am I trying to get out of this? Do mm-hmm. I want, what road do I want to take with this? And so I focused, but there are failures along the way. There's some days you wake up and you're like, you know what?
Yes.
Let me do 15 minutes. You know, but I think when you cheat yourself, mm. it's not about no one's gonna know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You know. Like you know the
yeah.
problem. You know you didn't put in that work. And for me, I'm like, if I have this lie with myself, mm-hmm. then I'm just gonna continue lying on everything I do.
Yes. And that's the integrity piece.
Absolutely. And so you have to be real with you. And I think that's another reason why people don't get far. Right, they go on social, they say, oh, I've been hitting the gym every day. But they know they haven't been hitting the gym
every day. Because you said every day, not Monday through Friday. You said Monday through Sunday.
Absolutely.
That's every day.
Every day.
Right. And, you know, even I get to points where I'm like, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like getting up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym, you know, so yeah. I can make it to the gym on time. I don't feel like putting in the work or whatever the case may be that's going to require me to go to the next level. And so it's like, how do you get into action when you don't feel like it?
Yeah, and that's one of the hard things. I think for me, like, I used to, when I was in high school, like listen to the motivational Les Brown, mm-hmm. E.T., the hip hop preacher,
yes.
like all these individuals. And what I realized over time is like, when you do things for a long enough period, the next time you hear it doesn't motivate you as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, I need to find something that is longer lasting than motivation, because motivation wears off.
Right.
And temporary. So people will go to these conferences, get really hyped, and before they leave out the door, they're like, oh, that was cool. You know, I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the things they saw for themselves, they no longer see it because like they're not motivated anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I had to realize, okay, one, I had to have this visualization of like who I was trying to become. The second thing I had to do was like, what's it gonna cost me?
Mm.
Okay, maybe it's gonna cost me some TV time, some Netflix. Maybe it's gonna cost me the brunch this weekend because I need that capital, you know, to start learning how to trade or to invest in this specific thing. And so I look at things and I say, you know what, this isn't forever, this is for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, I get really clear on what's on the other side.
Yeah.
The other side is now I'm making passively 10K minimum a month. And so what's that gonna do for me if I get to that side?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have to work this job anymore. Okay, it's gonna allow me to, you know, create a plan to retire my mom, right? Okay, I'm only gonna get better if I could hit 10K a month consistently.
Mm-hmm.
What's that gonna mean for the next 5 years now? What about the next 10 years? And so for me, there's a bigger goal, and I think getting really clear on what's it gonna cost me, what's it gonna do for me in the next 1 year, 5 year, and 10 year. And that's how you determine the value also of like the thing that you're investing in for yourself.
Cool.
But again, that's just how I feel about things.
Right.
People will watch this and think that they can't do it. Right, they're like, oh, well, you know, Journey with Blue said he was an analytical thinker.
Yeah, and right. They're gonna make every excuse why they can't.
Absolutely, yeah. And you have to look at what do I have? Okay, I'm really creative, so maybe I could teach it to myself in a different way. Maybe in order for me to retain it, I need to teach it to my family members.
Mm-hmm.
I need to gamify it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so you have your creativity to think outside of the box. So you should already have an advantage. You have to look at, what do I have? Okay, let me approach it. I'm gonna approach it a completely different way than anyone else has. And so look at your uniqueness, right? Mm-hmm. Focus on, don't think about what you don't have, because we could make a long list. Mm-hmm. And then we could then compare it with other people and say, well, I can't start it because, you know, Boo had $21,000 to start with in a savings account,
yeah.
right? So therefore I don't have 21K and I shouldn't start
Again,
this.
Again, those limitations.
Absolutely.
If you'll fight for them,
right,
you'll keep them.
Right, you definitely will keep them.
Right, and I think, you know, that's really great. And even when we're thinking about the action of, like, not feeling like it, not yeah. feeling like getting up, not feeling it, like putting in the time, it's like, you know, one thing I always say, F your feelings, right? Mm. So, like, because your feelings are not fact.
Right, right.
Right? And so many times we're waiting to feel like doing something when it's really like, start acting in yeah. it and the feeling will come.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's something that's really important. But you also, you said, what is this costing me?
Yeah.
Right? And you're saying, like, what is this costing me from the sense of, like, oh, maybe the money, or like, I don't have the time for Netflix and do those things.
Yeah.
But it's also costing you something so much bigger. And it's costing you your why.
Mm.
Right? It's costing you your purpose.
Mm.
It's costing you your calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've heard you share, like, different parts of your story. I believe we were at Maya's house for your brunch, which was like, where are we having this brunch?
My housewarming brunch.
Yes. Right, and left the house like a month later. But you shared this story about your why.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it was like kind of like your prayer.
Yeah.
And I got emotional. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you don't truly understand someone's work.
Yeah.
Until you understand why they do it.
And I think too, like, the why changes,
mm-hmm.
right? The why changes all the time. Like, when I migrated here from West Africa as a refugee, the why was just, I want to help my mom pay the bills, because there's all seven of us living in this one bedroom. Like, I want to help, sleeping on the floor. I want to help her pay the bills. I'm like 4 or 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
thinking I could go get a job because I see her struggling. That was the why then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the why now, the why evolves, you know? Mm-hmm. Then the why was, okay, I need to get good grades because my mom doesn't have money to send me to college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is the new, like, if I could do this, then she could save so much money, and if I get a good job, then I could help her out, you know, I could help my family out. So the why evolves. I think for me, it's getting really clear and understanding that your why will change, because
mm-hmm.
some people think, oh, it has to always stay the same.
Yeah.
I think getting really clear and outlining, you know, what is that current why? And for me, when we were doing that brunch, was back then was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big whys is, like, you know, I didn't want to go back to corporate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what, anything, I'll do anything.
And the thing is, you could already make millions at that point, and you're still saying, I don't want to go back to corporate. I think you're okay.
I don't want to go back to corporate, or now I want to get a house for my mom. I don't want her to work anymore, or, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm taken care of. And so the why always evolves and changes, but I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about earlier people accepting their limitation, and I think that it's so easy for people to be stuck where they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's familiar.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times there are opportunities. A lot of times people are like looking for signs. And I kind of love and hate this, right? Because they will put the onus on someone else. Oh, when, you know, it's in God's time. But God's also waiting for you to take action a little bit, right? Like, just do a little bit, like, you know, or, you know, it's not the right time, but you're not doing anything to work towards that thing that you want as well. So it is getting clear on your why, but it's also getting uncomfortable, you know? Like, I see it all the time. I was just talking to someone recently. They're just so comfortable where they are. Anything new that's uncomfortable, they're like, why would I do that? They're not willing to accept that or embrace that unfamiliar space that they're entering, and you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then your why will get you through that, but you have to be able to embrace that. That things aren't supposed to be the same.
Right.
When you go and decide on this journey that you want to be better, it shouldn't be the same.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think it's so important for to even hear your story in this, because someone could easily say, like I be saying, yeah, Abu off to his millions, yeah, you know, Abu, he's in a place where he can do this. He has this analytical brain. I'm not that. I'm more of this free flowing, carefree person. And, you know, I was at Waffle House in Mississippi. I was there with Joshua and one of his friends, Daniel. And it was this lady, she was kind of like hunchback or something. It was like a physical impairment. And I was like, dang, like that really sucks that like she got to be out here working or something. And, you know, like having to push through in this circumstance. And Daniel said, he was like, we all have limitations. And at first I was like, dang, Daniel, you cold-blooded. Like, I'm trying to feel sorry for this woman who out here trying to work. But, and he shared something with me, like, I have, you know, my limitation, you may not know it. It may not be physically on me, but this is my limitation. And we all have something.
That's
and
a fact.
We can always make the excuse. And I think that's just the easy way out.
That's the easy way out. I totally agree with you on that. Because I've known a lot of people in my life that they still continue to try to take the easy way out.
Yeah.
And it's hard when you decide to bet on something that you want and you put yourself out there. Like I said earlier, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And we're not saying it's easy. We're not sitting here and saying, oh, do what you love and like, you know, it's easy, everything. Oh, no, we're saying that taking that bet on yourself is an amazing bet, but it's also a lot of work. And you're gonna have to be in battle with yourself constantly. And that's literally entrepreneurship. The reason why it's so hard is you're literally looking at a mirror at yourself of your limitations.
Yeah.
And then you have to decide, okay, do I wanna look at this mirror again today or do I wanna improve upon it and come back? Mm-hmm. And so it presents its challenges. And for all of us, it looks a little bit different. Some people it's capital right out the gate. Some people it's ideas. Some people, you know, they could execute, but they don't have the ideas, right? So everyone has these limitations and like your friend mentioned, but it's how do you still adapt through them? I was just talking to a friend of mine recently and he was saying that, he knows every NBA player's moves. I'm like, yeah, you could know all of LeBron's moves, but you still got to go out there and stop him. You know, like you still have to, you know, you can know your limitations, but you still have to kind of work through those, right? Like you could still have success in where areas that you're limited in. There was something I posted recently on Instagram and it was talking about no matter what stage of the journey that you're in, you're always going to have these limitations that you set for yourself. And also, I was saying that a lot of times you feel that it can't work out for you, or you feel uneasy, or a better word probably is you feel lost. Sometimes, and so many people commented like, you feel lost? Like, you did X, Y, Z, you feel lost? And I'm like, yeah. You know, like, there are times where you're having to work through these limitations, and you ask yourself, even though you did so much, am I good enough? Is this for me? You know, you still ask yourself, so it's a consistent battle. There's never gonna be a moment where you're never not gonna feel anything completely. You'll still have some self-doubt in yourself, but you have to learn how to work through that and navigate through that.
Right. In this process, in this practice, there's adversity.
Absolutely.
And you also made a post about like, we want these dreams, like we want to birth this dream, but it's like you made the analogy of baking a cake. So you're gonna have to tell it. I
can't remember the post word for word. I'm like, I need my phone. I have all my thoughts in there. But I think I was talking about adversity, and it is, I forgot what I said.
It's like you have all the ingredients to make the cake, but the thing you need for the cake to actually rise and to be done is the fire.
Yeah, it's adversity. Dang, you good. You remember that.
This is what I do. Research, preparation.
Right, right.
Pays off.
No,
right?
You're right.
But it's the fire.
Right.
Is that
it's
what
the
make,
heat.
It's the heat. Right? It's that pressure that we so often try to avoid.
We avoid it.
And it's like, but you can't bake that cake.
You can't.
You can't bring that dream to life without it.
Dang, that was good. I can give myself a pat on the back. I said that. No, but I think that you're spot on. You know, we gather everything and then we're like, okay, like, but it's like, no, you're still gonna have to put it in the fire. Mm-hmm. You're still gonna have to use the fire. You're still gonna have to have a level of, you know, this adversity, which we're describing as the heat or the fire, in order to make the cake. And most people just stop there. They're like, oh no, like, and it's hard. You'll never bake the cake, right? No matter how hard you try, you put all the ingredients together, you could, you know, mix it. I'm not a baker now, so I don't want these bakers like, oh boo, you got the steps in the wrong order. But you can put all these ingredients together and there's no way this cake is gonna be a cake unless you experience some adversity.
Yeah.
And the reason why I posted that, because I was trying to visually share with people that you have all the ingredients.
You have everything.
You have everything.
Oh, I didn't get that from
you.
That.
You have everything, because what people will say, what they default to is, oh, I don't have it, or oh, I don't know if I'm good enough. Oh, yeah, but I'm like, you have everything.
Mm.
Like I'm confused as to why you think that this cake is gonna bake itself.
Mm.
You have to go. You have to put yourself out there. You have to go through the heat in order to bake this cake. That's what I was trying to tell them, is like, a lot of y'all already have everything.
Gotcha. I missed that part. That's really good. We already have everything that we need to make it happen.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times we don't want to put in the work. We don't want to put in the practice, right? We don't want to get it wrong before we get it right. We don't want other people to judge us and say whatever. We don't want to even have to look at ourselves and have those hard conversations and those realities of what are these limitations and how do I overcome them?
Yeah.
And
a
self-audit. And how do I actually break this down into, this is my goal, but what are my habits?
Yeah.
And how do I backtrack to make that happen? How do I set up my life where I'm doing 90 minutes for 90 days,
right,
or the 60 minutes for 60 days? How do I actually make that happen? And, you know, I think it's making it happen and making it happen in silence.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something that I know you also share, is because a lot of times when we're in this process, we're alone.
Yeah.
Right? And we are not getting the recognition of the work. Right? And it's hard to go forth and do something that you don't know what the outcome is going to be, right?
Right.
You don't know what's the turnout.
Yeah.
You don't know if this is really going to work for you.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard.
Yeah.
That can be discouraging.
And this is something I talked about, like vision versus recognition, mm-hmm, versus visibility. And are you willing to stick with something?
I like that. Vision
versus recognition,
vision
versus visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really around, like, are you willing to stick with the vision despite the recognition and visibility?
Mm-hmm.
And most people are not. Most people need an accolade. They need a clap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't get the clap, if they don't get that Forbes article, they don't follow the vision.
Yeah.
They think they're doing it because of the recognition.
Yeah.
And they go online, they see, oh, why is this brand getting all the recognition? Why is my peers appearing on Forbes? Even though their vision is strong, and you know that they have a strong vision because they're making an impact, right? So what are the tools that you're using to measure your success?
Yeah.
Are you using the tools of your vision and impact, or of your recognition and visibility? For me personally, when I was building my business that first year, like, I wasn't written about on Forbes. I didn't get no 30 under 30. But I was questioning, like, dang, am I doing a good job?
Mm-hmm.
I just had made $1 million. And I'm like, dang, am I doing a good job? I'm on Instagram and this person is on Business Insider and Forbes. And,
mm-hmm,
and am I doing a good job? Then the next year I was like, I'm gonna try to get on all these articles.
Yeah.
And then the year went by and I didn't get on any article. And then I had to come to the realization, okay, you've helped how many, 10,000 people, make over 50 million, like, What recognition is going to top the impact that you're making?
Yes.
And so for those of you that are making impact, you have a strong vision, and you're trying to be everywhere and get the recognition, like, you have to ask yourself, what am I using to measure?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using the right tools to measure, because those people that are in Forbes 30 under 30, if you go back and look at where they are now, those people that are getting all these features, if you go back to see where they are today, you'll realize it's about the impact. Mm-hmm. It's about the vision. That's way more important than a recognition and visibility. And so again, these are just some of the hard lessons I had to learn.
I've had to learn as well, right? And like I said, I was taking notes because I know that I have the vision of what I want to create, but I also have to, in my everyday, practice it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's so important for all of us.
Yeah.
And I knew you were the person to break it down for us.
Yeah.
Because you break everything down.
I think it's easy to grow when you're in a great environment, right? And so for me, when I didn't have that environment growing up, you know, poor neighborhood, I got it went through school, mm-hmm. you know, just like being around different people. And then eventually when I, you know, came into my own and have the ability to go network, have the ability to ask someone for coffee. I'm the same person that paid someone $15,000 for 30 minutes for coffee. Cleared my savings.
I didn't know that you did that.
Yeah, cleared my savings, right? Uh-huh. In order to do that. This is when I was working 9 to 5. Because I wanted to be in an environment because I wanted to see how they talked, how they walked, mm-hmm. how they commanded the room. And here I am, like, that was my only way. I didn't have the access. So sometimes it does take a capital investment. Sometimes it takes just showing up to those free events. Sometimes it takes YouTube University. Sometimes it takes books. Yeah. Growing up, we were really poor. I used books as an escape, right? I read books as an escape. I was like, wow, like, you know, I'm in London today. No. I'm not in London. I'm reading this book.
I'm in Philly.
But like, I use my imagination to be in these places. And so I think that you have to try to be in an environment that is nurturing to whether it's your creativity, to your vision. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing to do is when I was in Philly and the people around me didn't nurture the thoughts, not everybody, but some people didn't nurture the ideas that I had, they would continue to die. And it wasn't that a lot of times they weren't bad ideas, right? The soil wasn't good, right? The water wasn't good, you know? So there were all these things. And I said, you know what? If I can't change my physical circumstance, I got to change my mental circumstance. I got to change what I consume,
yeah.
right? And so these are the things that I say, okay, I need a podcast. So listen to a podcast on my way to the office. I cut out music. And I'm not saying cut out music.
Yeah.
Listen to the Beyonce album, mm-hmm. right? Beyonce, sponsor this podcast, please. And so I would just say I started adopting different habits. That's what I mean by when I say I started cultivating my mental, right?
Yeah.
I started consuming different pieces of content because I couldn't change my physical. Like
yeah.
I didn't have money to move out of my mama's house to go. So I had to change what I was consuming, and that eventually change my environment.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
And change the things that you can control that are within your control.
Absolutely.
And this, I think you, it's this whole conversation is about the decision for you to show up for yourself, for your dream, for your purpose, for your why. And this is good, Abu.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad I put out the bat signal. I'm glad you got on the flight and came through.
Yeah, and just to, what you said and what we talked about this entire time was basically, you know, journey with Blue, but our journey with ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the person that you're trying to outdo is you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sooner people realize that, that's the only person you're trying to get better each day then you'd be walking more in alignment with your purpose and vision because you're just trying to get better than that person yesterday.
Yes.
Not on social media,
yes.
just like that person yesterday.
Me
and I think that, to me, when I see you interviewing people, like to me, that's the journey with Blue. It's like the journey with yourself. Like, how are you growing in this mm-hmm. in this journey, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate this.
Oh, thanks, Abu. We made it happen. It's been like years in the making, right?
Right,
but
right,
this was
right.
good stuff.
Yeah,
thank
yeah. you.
You
already know.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation and took some notes. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share with a friend. But the conversation is just the beginning. If you're ready to take action to step into your purpose and create the life and business of your dreams, I'm ready to support you along the journey. Head over to thejourneywithblue.com to learn how you can apply to work with me and create results you're proud of. I'll see you next time on The Journey with Blue.